today on Real Radio.
The Bible says when we pray, we are to pray in faith, right? Believing, and we are to be praying in the sense where we expect God to answer. So you pray believing with expectation. And the Bible says also in another place that when you pray with thanks. You thank God before it even happens. You thank Him for what He's going to do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was constantly given messages from God about the moral breakdown of the times, but the book of Isaiah is often quoted in the New Testament also. Visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about His return when He sets up His millennial kingdom here on earth. In chapters 36 through 39, we saw how Isaiah deals with events that are currently happening in Judah. How Assyria, Judah's greatest enemy, had surrounded Judah, and how Assyria's field commander was mocking them with lies. The nation of Assyria was ruled by Sennacherib, a title that means the Great One, and was greatly feared by Judah because no one had ever survived his attacks. But Judah's king Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for help. And now we're going to see how God delivers Judah from the Assyrians in a miraculous way. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we pray, as Hezekiah did, we are to pray believing and thankfully expect God to answer. But what most of us forget is to also pray for God's will to be done. Hezekiah got his prayer answered, but he forgot about God with tragic results. And now continuing his lesson called With God's Defense, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He has spoken. Behold, verse 8 says, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards, so the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. What does that mean? If you want to read more about this, you can go to 2 Kings 18 and 19 and read that. There's more description. It's the exact same event covered in 2 Kings starting at chapter 18. What's the deal? The offer is made to Hezekiah, recorded in 2 Kings. What sign are you looking for? Do you want God to confirm it to you that He's going to do this by having the sun move 10 degrees forward or 10 degrees backwards? And Hezekiah says, hey, the sun's going to move forward anyway. The shadow's going to move forward anyway. Have it go backward. Now, I don't know what you think about that. So, you know, why is God doing this? I don't know. But it was to confirm, I'm going to do this. And what's with the sundial? In the days of Ahaz, there was an actual sundial built. Not like you think. You know the sundials you have in your garden or whatever, or grandma's garden. It's not like that. This was actually, it's actually a staircase. It sat out in the open. It looked just like a staircase. And they would mark time by that. They would mark seasons and times by it. And God had the shadow go backward. You say, I don't know if I can believe that. Listen, if you can believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, then moving a shadow is nothing. And so this thing happens. And here's where it gets wild, you guys. It says in verse 9, this is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from the sickness. He's now healed. Pay close attention, everybody. This is him speaking, not God. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go down to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah. That's the name of the God of the Bible. The Lord in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion, so he breaks all my bones from day until night. You make an end of me like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake or gird me up. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years. Listen, because he doesn't do this. In the bitterness of my soul, O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. Man, think of that. Think of that. When you are given a death sentence, think about how you start thinking, man, I should have done this with my kids, or if I just had another year or 6 months to do this with my kids, or to say this to my kids. Verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Verse 21, now Isaiah said, let them take, I think this is kind of funny. Isaiah tells him, you're going to die. He cries out to God, and God says, all right, you live, and I'll prove it to you. I'm going to have the shadow on the dial go back to just give you peace. So he sings this kind of song. He writes this poem thing. And you almost kind of see Isaiah standing off to the side going, oh, this is all weird. This is all weird because I heard what God had said. He's going to die. Well, okay, so he's going to live 15 more years, but I could have swore he was going to drop dead sooner. You say, how can you say that, Jack? Well, I don't know. Just hang on a second. So when Isaiah realizes he's going to live, look what he said. He says, now Isaiah says, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice, as a compound, a mix, ointment. Remedy, ointment, goop, something. Okay, crush up some figs and put it on the boil and he shall recover. So he has some cancerous, life-threatening skin thing going on. And Isaiah says, put some figs on it. And the Bible says, okay, so Isaiah goes, all right, he's going to recover. Verse 22, and Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? So he just makes a comment. So here's the thing, God heals him. Verse 39 is gonna end very quick, it's very short. Let me ask you this. When you pray, okay, look, watch me. The Bible says that when you and I pray, we are to pray believing. Number two, the Bible says when we pray, we are to pray in faith, right? Believing, and we are to be praying in the sense where we expect God to answer. So you pray believing with expectation. And the Bible says also in another place that when you pray with thanks. You thank God before it even happens. You thank him for what he's going to do. Under all of those wonderful things, and you can go to all kinds of prayer seminars and read all kinds of books on prayer, and you can go to YouTube and study all this stuff on prayer. Let me make it really simple. The Bible says when you and I pray, pray in faith, pray believing, right? Pray for God to be glorified. Yes, all of that. And you thank him as you pray. What is the caveat or the overriding thing that we know from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation regarding prayer? Well, apparently we don't know. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The convenient thing everybody forgets about when it comes to prayer when we're desperate. When you and I are desperate, we have this tendency. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do it now. And when we push it like that, and we're not interested in God's will, we will give lip service to it. Yeah, right. God's will be done. You and I need to learn something about prayer. God's promises are steadfast and immovable. Everything he's promised us will be applied according to his will, not yours, nor that person or that guy's book or that person's seminar. And you know it's true, because have you ever prayed for God to do something and that prayer is a biblically based prayer? Everything lines up and it doesn't happen. And people who hold to that other camp, that God owes you stuff, they won't put it that way. They'll say it differently. If it doesn't happen, it's never their fault. It's them saying to you, you just lack faith, man. Those guys are lunatics. They should be banned. You know why? Because people's faith are shipwrecked. Little did they know that it was God's will. Listen. It's God's will in that particular person's life that whatever they're going through, God's got a plan. And it might even lead to death. And we go, no, not death. Well, how in the world do you ever expect to get to heaven? Think about it. You want to go to heaven, don't you? You got to drop dead to go to heaven. Well, of course, the rapture. That's why I talk about it almost every message, but you beat me to it. The only thing in the Bible is the fine print, the rapture. But unless the Lord comes back in the rapture, we're all going to die to get to heaven. So, but how does this apply to Hezekiah? Well, look at chapter 39. It says that at that time, Merodach-Baladad, what a name, the son of Baladad, the king of Babylon, which is funny because Babylon at the time of the Assyrian Empire was a joke. I mean, it was like a tent city. It was nothing. Sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them that, watch everybody, showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold. Imagine somebody knocking on your door, you invite them in and you show them you're safe in your house with all your diamonds and jewels that you all have. The spices, precious ointment, and all his armory. Hey, you want to see our military gear and all of our military plans, secret plans? And there was nothing in his house that in all of his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. What a nut. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah. He didn't know what was going on. And said to him, what did these men say? And from where did they come to you? And Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. I'm so amazing. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among the treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons, that happened, who will be descendants from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palaces of the kings of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, listen to this, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. At least there will be peace and truth in my days. What does that mean? Two things I need to capstone this on. Number one, Hezekiah, oh wow, that's bad news. But it's going to happen. You said my descendants, my kids are going to be led away into Babylon, taken captive. Long as it's good in my day. That's what the bum is saying. What? America's going to implode and the debt's going to destroy the country and my kids are going to go into slavery? What do I care? I'm going to die soon. I'm an old man. I don't care. Have you ever talked to people like this? I have. Whoa, well, the world's messed up. It's terrible. And this country is all messed up. Ah, what do I care? I'm not even going to vote. I'm 80 years old. What do I care? I'll leave this mess to my kids. That's exactly what the old man's saying here. I don't care. But here's the deal, and we'll end it with this, getting back to the prayer thing. Guess what? He cries out to God bitterly. God gives him 15 years. This is a shock. Oh, yeah, I want God to answer my prayers. Are you sure? You want God to answer all your prayers? Because the children of Israel prayed, we want meat. We want meat. We want meat. God says, Moses, just get out of the way. And he sent them quail, bazillion million quail flying right across the plate too, because it says they hit him with sticks. And they had, the Bible says, they wanted meat. God gave them meat, and they had meat, and they ate so much meat, it said they began to come out of their nose. Psalm 106, I think it's verse 15, says that God answered their prayer and sent leanness into their souls. What is that? He answered their prayer because they insisted on it. Listen, everybody, you're not going to get this in some prayer class. Watch out what you're praying for. Because if you trouble God to a point and he sees, you're not going to get off of it. I find it interesting. Paul the Apostle was sick and he prayed 3 times. And then he left it with God and he suffered the rest of his life because God said, I'm not going to heal you. I'm going to give you my grace. Listen up, everybody. No one wants to hear this. You're asking God to do something. Ask him in faith, believing and thanking him in advance for his will to be done. Whatever that may be, because he knows better than you and I do. So Hezekiah gets his prayer answered. Hezekiah walked with God. He was a good king until what happened? Until he got his prayer answered. Did you know that? When you read 2 Kings 18 and 19, guess what he does? He winds up forgetting God in 15 years. In fact, 2.5 years after the prayer is answered, because he doesn't have a kid yet. So I understand as a king, he wants to live because he's the king. He's got to have lineage. But God works that stuff out. But it was worked out Hezekiah's way. See what I mean? Hezekiah and Mrs. Hezekiah, they had a boy. Guess what his name was? Manasseh. If you know history, he was the worst king in Israel's entire history. He was absolute reprobate, wicked, evil man who, according to the Jewish Mishnah, Jewish history, in Isaiah's old age, it was Manasseh that had him arrested. And he, Manasseh, according to Jewish tradition, sawed Isaiah in half with a wooden saw. His prayer was answered, and during those 15 years, he turned into an idiot. He forgot about God. For 15 years, the recorded life of Hezekiah was miserable. Little do you and I know, I want to live. We all want to live. But we listen, better than life is submitting to the perfect will of God. Because you know what? You never want to get something that you insist upon because God will say, all right, all right, all right already. Listen, you say, Jack, I don't know about that. Well, I'll give you one more example. Hey, God, we don't want you to be our ruler. We want to have a king like all the other countries. God wanted Israel to be a theocracy. We want a king. We want a king. And God said, Samuel, get out of the way. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. I'll give them what they want. And it destroyed the nation. Listen, make sure your prayers are biblical and your request ends with, not my will, but your will be done. Because he who created you knows the answer. And he knows what's best. What you never want to do is trouble God. You ask him. When Jesus said, knock, keep on knocking, you have that example in the Apostle Paul. Paul did that, and then Paul left it to the hands of God. When God answered and said, Jack, be quiet, I'm going to use this. Then be quiet. He knows. Let God be your healer, your provider, and your defense. This is a tough pill in this modern age to swallow. but I say it so that you be not deceived. God owes you nothing. God gives as gifts. And he loves you more than you care about yourself. And he knows what's best. And if God so says, you know what, it's time. Jack, this is the way that you'll go. You think about that right now. Think about it. We end with this. Think about how will you go? How will I go? Listen, the righteous go like the wicked. Did you know that the Bible says that? We all, listen, we get sick. We'll get cancer. We'll get hit by a truck or by a speeding camel in those days or whatever. You understand that? Oh, well, what kind of a sin did she commit? Because she's got leukemia now. That is demonic. That's sick, man. That's false teaching. That has polluted your mind. Some of the greatest saints in the world have died terrible suffering. And people who watched them in their suffering then concluded, wow, what an awesome God they have. And we do have an awesome Lord in you, Father God. We praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord. So, Father, we would say tonight that you'd answer our prayers according to your will. Lord, that which is wrong, and we've requested, we've almost demanded, we've been almost like a spoiled kid. Don't listen to us. Take that from us, and may we truly trust you. Praying in faith, yes. Standing on the word of God for promises, absolutely. And leaving the answer to you. We thank you, Father God, that in Jesus Christ is not only healing, and I pray even right now across this sanctuary that there'd be healings taking place because you're good, but the greatest healing of all is the healing from sin. That through the cross of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, there's forgiveness and there's healing for our soul. So much so that we stand now and sing our adoration and our affection to you in worship. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 2. Thank you for joining us today. And with God as our healer, our provider, and our defense, his will is always what's best for us. With God's Defense, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you haven't made the decision yet to invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, because maybe you've got a few questions, well, we'd love to help you out with that. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, Pastor Jack has a short video for you to watch on what it means to have salvation through Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and God loves us so much that he provides a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. There's also a space provided for you to give us your email address in case you still have more questions or you want to leave a comment. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that tab that says Know God, and you'll find that deciding to follow Christ will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.